Welcome back, everybody. This is Park from the Humble Coach Podcast. There's been a couple of weeks here and there, just a bit quiet since the last one, but we're back up and running. I'm joined by a fantastic coach who has had a really, really interesting both transformation and has had an interesting journey over the last number of years in her own coaching lifestyle and career, essentially. This is a lady called Grace Smith. Grace, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me on.
No problem. So Grace, I suppose, like a lot of people anyways, I think on the old Instagram world, some people will know, will be aware of you, and even more so with some of your antics recently with world records and things like that. Could you talk to us a little bit about your background and how you kind of get into your current role as a PT and a coach, if you could?
Definitely, yeah. A few people might know me from the assault bike. eight hours in the assault bike. So yeah, I recently, about 2 weeks back, did a world record 8 hours unbroken on the bike. And that was an experience. Mm-hmm. But my background is my old coach actually said I have a background in eating crisps, and he's probably right, because for pretty much most of my life I was really overweight. Until about five years ago, I was about 20 stone. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't have walked the length of myself, had zero interest in exercise, worked in office, sat all day, ate junk food. And then when I was 29, basically decided that I wasn't going to be that size and have that same lifestyle for when mm-hmm. I hit 30.
Yeah.
And give myself a year, 100 pounds, mm-hmm. and lost it in about 11 months.
Nice.
So lost about 110 pounds in that time. And in that time, I realised from going to like circuits and kettlebell classes that I was pretty strong. Mm-hmm. All the other girls lifted like 2, 4, 6 kilos, and I was swinging around a 32 kilo kettlebell. So I was like, maybe I should do some weightlifting. and then looked around for weightlifting classes or clubs and, mm-hmm. and found a local CrossFit box. About 4 years ago. Nice. And then joined the gym, and I was like, this is the place.
Yeah.
Did 5 years and then had a knee injury, which it wasn't CrossFit related. It was it's like a genetic disorder. Mm-hmm. So needed surgery. Basically CrossFit it was for quite a long time.
Okay.
And then during the downtime I missed lifting and I missed the community and I missed you know, being around other lifters and mm-hmm. that kind of lifestyle. And it was actually my mom said to me, why don't you coach? Mm-hmm. So about 2.5 years ago or so, just before I had the surgery, because I had to wait 8 months from surgery, mm-hmm. just before I had that, doing my PT qualifications. Mm-hmm. And then just did that part-time, just kind of was doing it free for people and did all my weightlifting qualifications, did all that within a year, and then I started training people at my job. Mm-hmm. And eventually I had about 13, 14 clients from kind of out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I need somewhere to train these people, because I was kind of just training them randomly, you know, like foot camps or go to the gym with them and we would do a gym session.
Yeah.
And then actually back at my house, I had like an old self-contained unit. Basically never used. Mm-hmm. So spent about 6 months doing it up and then basically turned it into a private studio.
Nice.
And within about 5 months of kind of opening the studio, I was booked up and I kind of came to a crossroads. Do I go further into my career because I'm a web designer by trade?
Okay.
Do I go further into that, or do I go full time and take a chance as a, you know, with fitness, which is what I love? So I just walked in one day and quit my job. nice. And that was about a year and a half ago. So haven't looked back.
Nice. Well, that's cool, Chris. I think that's pretty, that's a good start. So there's a lot of stuff going on there. And like, I haven't even dug into the... We haven't even dug into the really interesting stuff. Well, not that that's not interesting, of course, but we start talking about the real journey, like that, the 20 stone to 10 stone kind of thing. Like, there's a huge, huge amount of stuff. But Was there a particular event or a particular point that you really, really had that change of mentality towards, okay, this needs to change, you know, as in your body weight and your health in general? Was there a particular element that kind of kicked that off, or was it just a gradual thing?
Yeah, there was, and I actually wish it was a more interesting or more kind of life-changing moment, but when I say this, it's not going to sound all that life-changing, but I wish I could go back and create something more meaningful. But basically what it was, and it is going to sound funny, but it's the truth, is that I was sitting one day at work, and I'm nearly sure it was a Monday morning. Mm. I think it was the 18th of June. For some reason, that's in my head. I think it was the 18th of June, 2013. Mm. And I was sitting at work, and my stomach was so big that when I rolled out to talk to someone behind me at work, yeah, when I rolled back into my desk, I couldn't actually get into my desk properly to get my hands on the keyboard on the table. Mm. And I was like, Grace, this something's got to change. Like,
yeah,
you are so big that you can't actually, you're now so big you can't get into your own desk. And I was just like, something has to change. And I don't know why, it seems like such a simple kind of silly thing.
Yeah.
But for me, I was like, no, that's it. And I remember then, I think that was at like 9:30 in the morning, and we always had a tea break at 10. Mm. I rang mom and I was like, because I was living at home, and I rang mom and I was like, right, any junk that's in the house, get rid of it now. I don't care whether you have to take it outside, burn it, get it out the house. And she's like, why, what's going on? I was like, I'm losing this weight. I'm finished being this size. And she had kind of, in a nicey mom way, been trying for years, because at that point I was 29, and I'd been overweight basically most of my life. Mm-hmm. And she was like, what's going on? I was like, I don't know what's happening, but for some reason, I just had decided that morning, that's it. And I was like, I don't think I even told mom the death story. I just said, get rid of the junk, I'm doing this. And then from that day, that was it. So it seems like it was something small, but there must have been something within that where I was like, I can't go on like this. And I think my age as well played a part, that I didn't want to hit 30. Because like mom always said, your 30s, you really find yourself, you kind of know yourself, that's when you have your most fun.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not having fun at this size. You know, I didn't want to shop, I bought all my clothes online. Mm-hmm. Didn't want to go out, people would invite me out to stuff, have no confidence, no self-esteem. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I can't be like this for another 10 years. So it was like a combination of like the desk thing, but also my age as well played a part.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I think that's a really interesting, that's a fantastic story. And I think even in those small kind of, they look like insignificant enough kind of times, but I think I definitely know that I've had times in my life, maybe not for massive changes, but definitely there's certain things that I've gone, okay, look, it's not a particularly exciting time to change this kind of stuff, but they're important, and I think it definitely can build into really big crescendo and points like that. What was your kind of first thing? Was this diving into the nutrition element and just going, okay, I want to understand what's going on, or I need to just kind of really, really dig in and make sure my macros are amazing and make sure all of the details are there? Or did you get straight to the exercise and kind of go in that direction first? Or was there a bit of both that you were kind of digging into?
It was a bit of both. I think my initial thing was, do I need, you know, to like join a club? You know, do I need a Slimming World? Do I need a Weight Watchers kind of thing? And I sat down when I went home that night. I was like, do I want to go that kind of route? Mm-hmm. And By kind of the following day, I decided, no, I want to do this myself, because I'm the one that's got myself into that position. Mm-hmm. So it's on me to get myself out of it. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't have those clubs are brilliant, works for people, fantastic. Mm-hmm. But for me, I had to do it myself for myself. So I was like, that was the first thing. Am I going to learn this myself, or is somebody going to help me? And I decided, no, I was going to do it myself. Mm-hmm. And then I very much and have always been all or nothing kind of person. Yeah. So if I decide something, I will do it, and there is no going back. So the next day, I think that was the 18th of June. Mm-hmm. The next day I went and did a 5-mile walk and went with my brother, and by about a mile in had like the worst blisters. It was horrific. And I came back and I was like, I can hardly walk now. And mom was like, yeah, you maybe should have took it a little easier, but that's kind of me. And then pretty much every day I was walking at least a couple of miles, and I just remember for the first month or so basically being covered in blisters because I haven't done any walking, I haven't done any exercise. So I did do the exercise pretty much from the word go, but I also kind of arbitrarily was like, right, I kind of guessed I was eating around about 2,500-3,000 calories a day, which is insane. And started to use my fitness pal and started to track what I was eating. But I didn't weigh anything. I didn't go down the macro side. I went more down for portion sizes, and it was more to track my snacks and just have a good breakfast, healthy lunch, healthy dinner. And if I could do without snacks, then do that. And then that's kind of the route that I went. I roughly tracked, but I wasn't going to start becoming a slave to kind of weigh in things at that point because it was too much. Yeah. I didn't want to go from eating all this food to basically eating nothing. So there had to be a kind of a transition period. So I spent a couple of months more kind of getting a feel for food and how it fueled me rather than I must weigh this and I need to have every macro or every calorie accounted for.
Yeah.
So it was a combination really of fitness, finding fitness and movement again and slashing my calories down to a manageable level for me and taking out a lot of the sort of junk food really.
Nice. Okay. So I'm going to change tack a little bit now, Grace, because you mentioned your brother there. Now, if I'm to be right, I think on this, your brother has some challenging stuff going on. Is Mark? Is it?
It is. Yes.
Yeah. Did he help an awful lot in your transition and your change, or even to kind of spark it a bit more, or even like dragging him out for that first walk?
Yeah, he was like, because I do, because like Mark has special needs, and we had always done stuff together, but having said that, we ended up eating crisps and drinking Coke together. So I always felt, at that point, I thought, right, I've got myself into this state. But Mark was also about sort of 4 stone or so overweight. So in some ways, I felt responsible for that as well. So I thought, if I'm going to do this and I'm going to make a change, then I'm going to help Mark do it as well.
Nice.
So I came home and I said to him, I was like, look, I'm going to get healthy now. That's it. Something's going to change. And I said, like, do you want to do this with me? And he was like, yeah, I want to do it. And the next day I was like, right, we're going for a walk. And he was like, cool, I'm going with you. So yeah, we spent the year together, that full year together, just concentrating on our health and on getting fitter and on eating better. And so any time I went out for a walk, because I definitely couldn't run, if I went for a walk or we start after a couple of months, I kind of had a bit more confidence to like do a few classes, spending a little bit of kettlebell. He came with me. And any time we went out, that's what we would do. And that's what was focused around. So we spurred each other on. If there might have been a night where I was like, do you know what? Like I had a bad day at work or I'm tired. He'd be like, nah, come on, we're going for a spin or, you know, let's go for a walk. And same with me. If, you know, I say to him after work, I'd come home and be like, look, do you want to go for a walk or do you want to go for a class? He'd be like, okay, yeah, let's go. So yeah, we did it together. And even after when we both lost the weight, we joined CrossFit. So I joined CrossFit, kind of got the feel for it for a couple of months and then brought him along. Because obviously with his special needs, it needs to be a CrossFit box which is going to be able to accommodate him.
Yeah.
So, you know, I used to go to a CrossFit box and they're great and Mark still goes there. He's been going there now 4 years and loves it. And he's never looked back. Neither of us have looked back since then. But yeah, since that time, we've done it together. We lost the weight together and then we found CrossFit together.
Nice. I think it's great. I think like you've got that's a fantastic story because Mark's I follow him quite a bit on Facebook and stuff, and he's a fairly inspirational dude himself. And both of you are very very driven at this stage in your particular endeavors. And I think you're really really good respondents to the CrossFit methodology and the kind of attitude towards it, and it's been really good to see you guys making really big progress in it. But you've had other stuff going on. I think we can talk a little bit about your interest in the assault bike and how that can kind of relate into your coaching. do first thing, I suppose, do you have a particular favorite part of coaching? Is there a particular thing that kind of gets you going? Is it much more the fat loss kind of stuff, or is it the strength gain work, or is it just working generally with improving confidence across the board?
I think a lot of the time, and this goes for men as well, is I nearly have as many male clients as female clients, which mm-hmm. sometimes does surprise me because that's not the norm a lot of the time for female PTs. Mm-hmm. But what I generally am most interested in is bringing on the confidence of people, because any PT can get you fitter or stronger, but I think it's that bond that you can create with your clients to the point that you're involved in their life and their well-being, and I want to see them grow in confidence and become like the best version of themselves that they possibly can be. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the time that will come from that feeling of strength from coming in, and especially with mums, because I've got a lot of mums, and that's their one or 2 hours a week, and that's just for themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's their time to kind of work on themselves and get confidence and feel good about themselves, and then when they leave, they take that into the rest of their life, mm-hmm. whatever that may be. Nice. And it could be something as simple, like I've had clients say, Grace, I haven't worn a dress, that dress in 5 years, and I went out with my husband and it was, we had a fantastic evening. Fat loss is great and I love that, and obviously that's what I'm here for, mm-hmm. and getting you strong and getting you fit for everyday life. But what I most love to see is somebody coming in and them going at the start of the session, I can't do that. And by the time they've left, they've done it, and it's a confidence thing. Like I have like a ladies day every month and we get all the girls together and, a lot of the time they're like, oh, I can't lift that or I can't do that. And it's that confidence in that, yes, you can. Mm-hmm. And if you can't lift that weight now, then you will in a couple of weeks or a couple of months' time. And if you can get into that dress now, then you will at some point. And it's leaving every session with like a renewed energy, more confidence than when they came. Like I've had clients that would hardly talk, wouldn't say boo to a goose when they first came. Now I can't keep them quiet. Their confidence has come on because they feel so good about themselves and what they're doing. And that's kind of what I like to see. I like to see somebody coming in, maybe they might be shy, they might be quiet when they first start, that might mm-hmm. be their nature. But over time, they get strong, they get fit, but they feel really good about themselves. And I would always want a PT. I like to treat my clients as if I had a PT myself. And that's kind of, I'm like, what can I give to them that I would want myself? And when I was larger and when I wasn't feeling the best and didn't have self-esteem, I would have loved somebody to come on and give me confidence and give me a bit of motivation. So I will give them as much as I possibly can so that when I know when they leave, they're feeling a bit better and a bit more confident about themselves. And people have crap days. Not everybody has a job that they love. Not everybody gets to do this. I'm lucky. So people will come in after a 9-to-5 or a shift and might have had an absolutely awful day or might have had a bad day, at home. Mm-hmm. They come in. That's my aim. Get them fit, get them strong, yes, but also make sure that that's their 1 hour that they enjoy it and they have a good time and they leave feeling better about themselves. And a lot of the time they'll go and they'll be like, I wasn't really up for coming tonight, but I'm glad I did, and for me, that's job done.
Absolutely. I agree. The confidence, like the other elements are definitely, they're very achievable in the whole lot, but there's nothing that feeds back into making those elements easier to achieve than the confidence building. It's the real, real hub of it. You lost somebody very close to you a while back. Could you speak a little bit about how that maybe bolstered your progress going forwards? And we'll then talk a little bit about your kind of world record stuff. But could you speak a little bit about that, Grace, and how much of a challenge it was with your with your dad passing and stuff?
Mm-hmm. I lost my dad when I was 21. Mm-hmm. He was 56, so I was at work at the time. It was about 5 o'clock on a Monday night, and I used to work as a designer in a newspaper, and we worked 10:30 on a Monday. Mm-hmm. And I got a call to say that he'd had a heart attack in Belfast, and where he was in Belfast, the ambulance couldn't get to him for 40 minutes. So by the time the crew got to him, unfortunately, he lost all brain activity. was still just about alive. They were able to resuscitate him. Mm-hmm. But by the time we got to the hospital then, to the Royal, he was basically already brain dead. He was in ICU then for 17 days, and then it was the choice that we had to make then to switch off the ventilator, which was the right choice, but always a very difficult one.
Absolutely.
So yeah, it was, I hadn't graduated uni actually. I got a part-time job while I was waiting to graduate in the winter. So he passed away in October. Mm-hmm. So I'd lost my granny and my granddad 8 weeks before.
Yeah.
So within 10 weeks, I'd lost my grandparents and my dad. And they were all of my mum's. My grandparents were my mother's mum and dad, so it was particularly difficult for her because she lost her parents to her husband.
Okay.
So it presented a gallant family because I had planned to go away and work. So I had to come back home and basically take care of the family that way, and be the kind of main breadwinner in the family. So it was it was a big challenge, a big responsibility to take on. But you know, I would do it again. There was no doubt about that. But it changed, obviously, because it was so sudden. It changed the family dynamic because he was a builder and so fit.
Yeah.
That it was just totally, completely, and utterly out of the blue. So it definitely changed the family dynamic. But the way Dad was, I look absolutely nothing like him, but my personality is exactly like him. He was self-employed. I've ended up basically exactly like him. He was self-employed, had worked for people, but basically was like, look, I've got this passion for something. I'm going to go ahead and do it. And he was his own boss since I could remember, since I was a child. So he had his own way of doing things, and he was always the personality. He always was very confident and very driven, and his words to me were always, what he used to say was, if it's to be, it's up to me. Mm-hmm. And I actually ended up getting that tattooed on my arm.
Nice.
And that kind of, that's always kind of driven me on. So in a way, basically what he was saying was, if you want something, go out and make it happen. Don't rely on the world to give you what you want or other people to make it happen for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you want it, do it. And that was the mentality that I kind of brought into my weight loss. You know, if I'm going to do this, then I'm going to do it myself, and I'm going to do it my way and figure it out. And that's kind of been the theme since then. The weight loss was the catalyst, but in a lot of ways, I've kind of followed that same vein. If I want to make something happen, if I am really passionate about something, then I will do everything in my ability to make it happen. Mm-hmm. Once I decided that I wanted to coach full time, then within 6 months I was coaching full time. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I've been driven since then. And I think I would still be in this position if Dad were alive. But it's certainly his kind of mentality that don't rely on other people to make things happen for you. It's not that you can't trust them or you don't want help, but have that kind of driven ambition that if you really want to achieve something, then you have to put in the hard work. And I have never been scared of hard work, and neither was he.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the philosophy that he set for us. Mm-hmm. My other brother, Philip, is self-employed. So, you know, there's definitely something in the Smith gene.
Yeah.
But we like to be our own bosses, so we definitely carry that on through him. And I think that's definitely from Dad. You know, that kind of driven ambition. Me and Philip, my other brother, are very driven and very passionate about what we do. That's, we talk about business all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We're very different. He airbrushes and does motorbikes and helmets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But in terms of our passion, we're both quite driven people, and that's definitely from Dad's side.
Yeah, I think that's I think it's fantastic to see. I think a lot of the time people will be going through like that. They may be going through some difficult times with their weight or with their lifestyle or with even family dynamics changing and things like that. But a lot of the time it becomes so important to just allow people to build enough confidence so that people can really express their personality. And I think that's really interesting that certain activities can bring it out, be it banal kind of situations potentially where you can't reach the desk or something like that or whatever it is. But I think it's fantastic to see someone of your mental strength and positivity just being able to express that now and pass it on to other people. For me, that's one of the main reasons why it can be so powerful as a coach to really make such change. Now, at the same time, you have this great love for the assault bike, which I cannot understand. I can understand it for like maybe a minute. I don't know about. So you did 8 hours. Am I correct?
Yes. 8 hours from Brooklyn, so I didn't get off the bike.
I think we're gonna leave it a moment just so people that can sink in a bit.
Everybody listen, 8 hours unbroken, so it was a total of 143 miles unbroken.
Nice.
Calorie wise, I didn't take a run on total because it resets every 2 hours, which anybody that's done 2 hours on the bike, God help them. But the assault bike resets every 2 hours or every 1,000 mm-hmm. calories. I think it was around about 4,500 calories on the bike or so. I got into the bike. I know it's mad. It makes no sense to anybody. I talked to Assault Fitness last year at the regionals, and they were like, yeah, we think you're mental. I got into it actually after I had knee surgery. So it was a way for me to build up. Anybody that's had a leg injury knows that basically within a few months, you can spend years building up leg muscle. You lose it really fast.
Yeah.
So it was a way for me to build up some muscle and some endurance in the legs after knee surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember just starting out with like 2 minutes, very tentatively,
mm-hmm.
and then just built up slowly. And for some weird reason, I like the challenge, but that it doesn't surprise me that I like the challenge.
Yeah.
So I like the challenge that it's painful and it's hard and not many people like it. And for me, there's something about that. And I'm like, how hard can I go? How fast can I go? How long can I go?
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually a chat with a client in about December last year, because I normally do an hour on the bike every day. An hour on the bike for me is kind of just me taking over. And all my clients know that I'm insane and I love the bike because they all hate it. And I randomly was chatting to a client and I was like, I'm thinking of doing something on the bike, but I don't know what.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, you know what? Oh, Grace, why don't you do something mad, like just do a day on it? And I was like, oh, you might have something there. And they're like, no, I was joking. And I actually ended up couldn't get it out of my head for like a good month. And then I ended up going, Jed, you know what? I'm going to apply to Guinness and see if this is possible.
Nice.
And then just started the process. And that's kind of how that started. And then trained for the ERs from about mid-January, early February.
Mm-hmm.
And then did it on April the 21st.
Awesome stuff. How hard was it?
Do you know what? Because I had prepared and been on the bike for so long that the first 4 hours, as mad as this will sound, the first 4 hours were perfectly fine. I kind of enjoyed the first 4 hours. They were grand. It was hours 4 to 6 were absolutely horrific. It was like I hit him. That's when I hit the wall, massive wall, and it just seemed that all the pain in the legs and a really, really bad foot cramp started to set in.
Mm-hmm.
So hours 4 to 6 were fairly horrible, and then 6 to 8, because I knew it was near the end there, 6 to 8 were grand, and then the last hour I was averaging about 56 RPM, so I ended up doing about 21 miles in the last hour.
Jesus Christ. That's quite a lot. That's good going.
It's quite a lot, yeah, because the first hour I only did 18, so I was trying to pace it around about 50 RPM, 48, 50 RPM, mm-hmm. which I managed to hold.
Yeah.
Slipped it a little bit in hours 4 to 6 and only was holding 46, 47,
mm-hmm.
and then last hour I was holding about 56. But I had there must have been about 40 people here that day, if not more.
Awesome.
There was people in and out all day, so and then we had a big party at the end, and then a pizza party afterwards.
Nice, excellent stuff. It sounds to me, Grace, and I think this is it's going to only be a good thing for your clients, but you seem to just have this consistent drive, and it's a relentless, it's a relentless drive, but it's an unafraid kind of a vibe I get from you. And I think a lot of coaches and me personally, I go through crisis of confidence on a regular basis. I think we all do. Have you any particular advice for other coaches that you you know of, or you know could benefit from some points that will help them just make sure that their confidence can be built back up throughout any issues they might be going through. Is there any particular mantras that you work along with, or do you journal, or do you have any particular kind of things that you routines that you like to work through that help you maintain that kind of drive on a regular basis?
I like to read a lot, so mm-hmm. I like to not just read around fitness mm-hmm. because it can be easy as a coach to just read health and fitness. And I like to have as broad a reading scope as possible. So I do a lot of reading, and mm-hmm. I like a lot of politics. I start my day with a lot of American politics, which most of my clients and friends now know about because I talk about it endlessly.
Yeah.
So if you're into American politics, you soon will be if you're my client. So I think it's good to have a good knowledge of what's going on in the world as well. Because I think as coaches especially, we can get sucked into Instagram, Facebook, mm-hmm. PTs,
yeah.
You know, studio, Instagram, Facebook, marketing, admin, accounts. Yeah. And it's easy to just kind of get sucked into just your everyday life. Mm-hmm. So in terms of how I start the day, I kind of like to get up and get my training done first thing mm-hmm. before I have any events. It just means that I know I'm set for the day, and it makes me feel good.
Yeah.
And I want my clients to have as good a day as possible. So in order for my clients to have a good day, I also need to be motivated myself.
Mm-hmm.
So on the days where I'm not feeling that motivated, I'm like, well, look, your clients are coming in here. Mm-hmm. You know, this is your passion. This is what you want to do. Make sure that you're giving them the best experience possible. So,
mm-hmm.
In terms of like crisis of confidence, I think we all go through that. I think my first 6 months was a crisis of confidence yeah. as a PT because you're so new to the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't matter that I'd been doing CrossFit for 3 or 4 years, or I'd got 3 or 4 of my weightlifting certificates and been on courses and things.
Mm-hmm.
It real world experience working with general members of the public that you don't know is very different than coaching people that you know in a CrossFit box.
Absolutely.
So I remember some of the things that I used to say in coaching sessions, and I'm just like, Grace, what were you thinking? Because I wouldn't say that now, you know, and it's just confidence comes from experience.
Mm-hmm.
And the experience can only come if you put yourself out there. And I was a brand new PT, had just got all my qualifications and set up like a little small part-time business, and I was asking people to come in and trust me. So there's a hell of a lot of weight riding on your shoulders, and these people are trusting you with their health.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to know what you're doing. So I wanted to make sure that I give them the best experience and the best knowledge possible. So if I don't know something, and I think this is where a lot of coaches go wrong, if I don't know something, I will say, I don't know that.
Yeah.
But you bet as sure as hell after they've left, I'll go and look it up.
Yeah.
If I don't know at the time, I'm like, look, I don't know that right now, or I'm not going to tell you this because I'm not 100% sure, but give me to this evening and I'll find out.
Nice.
So a lot of coaches will just come up with something because they want to seem knowledgeable to the client at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Always the wrong idea. I think just be honest and say, look, I actually don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they appreciate that more. I think when you're first starting, you want to show everybody, I know all this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, but what, I don't know all. There are things that I don't know. You know, I have clients with a lot of injuries and like past medical issues. And there are things that I am really experienced in dealing with now, but there are things that they'll come in with I might have never heard of before.
Yeah.
And they'll say, Grace, what do you do for this? And I'm like, look, I'm not a physio and I cannot advise you on that, or I actually don't know about that. But you know what? I do have a physio. I do have a lot of friends who are physios. I can refer you, and I can also get some exercises, or I can learn more about it.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of me going, yeah, I know about that, or I'll do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's easy to kind of get into the habit of just pretending to clients that you know everything, but you know what? We don't know it all.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good thing, because I don't want to know it all. I want to keep learning.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll go on as many courses that are not always health and fitness related.
No.
I'll go on as many courses as I feel I need to be as rounded as coach as I possibly can.
Mm-hmm. Nice, excellent. I think I agree completely. I think it's a huge, huge part, a huge element that we need to really keep an eye on, is making sure that we are definitely giving our clients a good, honest valuation of where they're at and how much we can actually help them. Having that support network is a huge, huge part as a PT, absolutely. Chris, what's next for the Forge PT and for yourself coaching wise? Are you looking in any particular direction, or are you just still kind of happy ticking along nicely and growing the business and kicking ass, taking names?
No, I'm never happy taking along. That's not how I work. So anybody that knows me knows that I don't take along. There's always something in the pipeline. So recently what I've started doing is working with more CrossFit athletes on their strength programming.
Yeah.
So that's, I work with quite a lot of athletes now online.
Okay.
So as much as I love the in-person PTs, there's something about working with clients or with athletes online that is, for me, is exciting. Mm-hmm. And it offers a different challenge because you can't physically be there. I'm not physically there to coach you. Mm-hmm. So it offers a different challenge that in-person does. So right now I'm working on building up more of the online side. Nice. And also in January I launched an online program especially aimed at ladies in their 30s, because I'm a lady in my 30s. Mm-hmm. And I know all about losing weight and trying to get fit and all the struggles that come with that. So that's something that I'd be running now every sort of 2 to 3 months now for the rest of the year.
Nice.
So there's that as well, and then there's the online side with more CrossFit athletes, because that I love CrossFit. Although I don't do it and I don't go to a box, there is a lot that I love about it, and I would take my brother still every week to it. As much as everybody goes, oh, you know, don't drink the CrossFit Kool-Aid, I drank it long ago, and I'm more than happy to still vouch for CrossFit. It does a wonderful job, and I like working with athletes, especially on their strength program. So mm-hmm. I'll leave the CrossFit program and obviously to their CrossFit box, and then I'll take over their strength program. And so that's something that I've been doing more of the online. So I love working in my studio, and I've no plans to kind of move anywhere bigger. I think people are always kind of asking me, especially around here, because the dumb thing is fitness classes. Mm-hmm. When are you going to start doing classes, Grace? When are you going to do classes? I can say for certain I will never do classes, because I love the one-to-one and just working with that one person that's there are to get them as much change as I possibly can. And I get to physically see their results every single week. And it's not that I measure and weigh them every week. The results as in, can they lift the weight they didn't? Do they have a bit more confidence this week than they did before? So for me, it's always going to be about the one-to-one, but I am enjoying the online side now of things.
Excellent. Nice. I like, that's interesting. I think I agree. I think the one-to-one, if you are into it, is absolutely a fantastic idea. I personally do classes myself. I've done one-to-ones before. I think I could probably go in either direction going forwards. I like both equally nearly at this stage. But I think it's interesting that, like that, there's sometimes this mad expectation to expand and to make sure you're covering all the bases. And like there's an awful lot to be said for, if you're good at what you're doing at the moment and it's working really well, I don't know if there's a real need to like just add in bits and pieces. It's just really unnecessary, and it takes away your energy from what you're doing really well.
It does kind of feel like that. I think everybody's like, oh, when are you going to open up, you know, like a big, big gym? When are you going to open a big gym, Grace, because you fill it, you know, and do loads of classes? And I'm like, you know what? If I set my mind to that, I probably could.
Yeah.
But I don't have any interest in that. And I don't have, I've taken classes before, and I've no problem taking classes. But I just really enjoy the one-to-ones. And I'm like, if that's what I really like, I'm self-employed. Stick to what you really like. I kind of get the best of both worlds now, because I get the one-to-ones and I get to see, you know, clients become friends, and we have ladies' day and we have barbecues and we've get-togethers and we've nights out and we've coffee tours, because we're all mad about coffee.
Nice.
And avocados, which you have to be if you're a hipster. And so like we have our group, and we have, you know, there's a good bond there, and I'm like, I don't want a big gym, you know, with loads and loads of classes. Mm-hmm. As often sometimes as I think people think that sounds, that comes with a different set of responsibilities and mm-hmm. it's a different outlook. That's not really my interest or my goal. My goal was never to be have a big gym and mm-hmm. you know have massive classes. It's always been to have one-to-ones. Nice. And to have my time as my own. To go yeah. self-employed, the main thing was do what I love, yes, but also I'm now in control of my life completely. Yeah. Down to, like, I'm my own accountant. I do everything, marketing, admin, mm-hmm. all that malarkey. Yeah. So I'm in charge of everything. So I the idea was to create my own life, what I wanted, mm-hmm. and that's really what I've done. So if I've done what I set out to do, for me, I just see no reason to kind of go ahead and open up a big gym yeah. and do something that puts pressure on me when really the aim was to free up time yeah. to do more of what I wanted. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've done. And with the online side, then I get to do just pure geeky programming,
yeah.
Which is because that's what I love. Like, I program for my clients, but it's just something about the online side and working with CrossFit athletes. You get to be the absolute coach geek comes out, and I'm like, brilliant, that's when I'm at my laptop and I'm at my happiest.
Yeah No, I think it's fantastic. I think exactly like that, the goal is happiness, and whatever floats your boat is fine by me. Exactly. Like, I think it's a key part. Like, there is an awful lot, like, not there's a mad amount of pressure, but there's definitely, I think, in certain circles, especially in kind of strength and conditioning coaching or that kind of a arena at the moment, that there is a keeping up with the Joneses kind of a situation going on. And I think it's really interesting to see people like yourself making really, really good progress and just making really, really big inroads into people's lives and helping them so much. Grace, do you have any, are you reading any books at the moment, out of curiosity?
I'm actually reading a load of politics books at the minute. And surprise, they're all American politics.
Give us one or two decent ones there, because I kind of like that kind of stuff a little bit myself.
Oh, let me see what I've got. I'm actually sitting right beside a load of them. I'm reading a coffee book as well. How to run a coffee shop. I have no interest in running a coffee shop, but I find it all fascinating. It's by Colin Harmon, who runs 3MB, so he's down in Dublin.
Yeah, I have it already. It's a good book. Yeah.
It's good. Oh, have you read it already? Yeah, I'm nearly halfway through, and I'm just like, well, I love coffee, and somebody brought it to me as a present, so I've just started reading that. I've just finished Fire and Fury. Ooh. So that's Michael Wolff, An Insight into the Trump White House. Mm-hmm. And I recently finished What Happened by Hillary Clinton. And I've got James Comey's book on my to-do list. And what's the one I just ordered off Amazon? The Death of Democracy. Haven't read it yet, but that's why I'm waiting. So, yeah, a lot of American politics at the minute.
Nice. Nice controversial stuff. I like it. Good stuff.
I have one friend that is interested in it. So I'm like, well, my kids are going to have to listen to it now.
We all have to have a superpower. And if yours is American politics on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, we're fine.
No, because I don't know anybody that's interested in it. It's funny because I have no interest in UK or Irish, but I don't know what it is about the American politics. It's always fascinated me. So, like, one of my favorite books is No Logo by Naomi Klein, and it's all about branding in politics and branding in schools, mm-hmm. And how that's kind of affected society over in the US. So, I think I read that many, many, many years ago, and I think from that I've kind of always had an interest in American mm-hmm. politics. But yeah, it's either politics or it's my head first in a laptop coaching.
Love it. That's good. Like yourself, my podcast is my my interesting side life. So that's why it's nice to see it here, that there's an interesting side life to your own coaching. That's cool. Grace, where can we find you on the interwebs? So you have the Forge PT is your personal training business.
Yeah.
One second. Hold on. Say again.
I'm on Instagram just as Grace Smith.
Nice.
And then Instagram wise for the Forge at the Forge PT, and then on Facebook the Forge PT.
Nice.
But pretty much everybody can get me on either by Instagram or on the website.
Okay, awesome. Nice. Grace, I'm going to leave you to it. That's fantastic. I'm sure I'm going to get you on again because I think there'll be probably loads of other stuff to talk about. but... No worries. Well, the best of luck with your business. Fantastic stuff, and congratulations on your world record and all of your success to date. I could hope it's only going to improve and hand over fist for the next while. So thanks so much for joining me.
No problem. Thanks for having me on. It's been good. It's been a blast.
Great stuff, Chris. And we'll talk to you very, very soon. Okay.
That's brilliant. Thank you.
Cool.